We walked back to the front of the house and past the fairly fresh plaster that might have hidden ridiculously lethal booby traps, out over a front porch the size of a tennis court, and down several steps to the circular drive where the car Lara had lent me was waiting. I stopped so suddenly that Anastasia nearly walked into my back. She caught her balance with a hiss of discomfort and then looked up and caught her breath. Oh, my. Nearly 2 tons of British steel and chrome sat idling in the drive. Its purring engine sounded like a sewing machine. The white Rolls limo was an old model, something right out of a Pulp Fiction adventure film, and it was in gorgeous condition. Its panels shone, freshly waxed and without blemish, and the chrome of its grille gleamed sienna in the light of dusk over the chateau. I walked down to peer inside the Rolls. The passenger seating in the back was larger than my freaking apartment, or at least it looked that way. The interior was all silver gray and white leather and similarly colored woodwork, polished to a glowing sheen and accented with silver. The carpet on the floor of the Rolls was thicker and more luxurious than a well-kept lawn. Wow, I said quietly. Anastasia, standing beside me, breathed, That's a work of bloody art. Wow, I said quietly. Look at that filigree. I nodded. Wow. Anastasia gave me a sidelong look. And there's plenty of room in the back. I blinked and looked at her. Her expression was innocent and bland. All I'm saying is that it is rather crowded in your apartment right now. Anastasia, I said. I felt my face getting a little warm. The dimples reappeared. She was just teasing me, of course. In her condition, it would be some time before she could engage in that kind of activity. What model is this? She asked. I said, well, it's a Rolls-Royce. I think it's from before World War II. It's a Rolls-Royce Silver Wraith, of course, said Lara's voice from behind me. At this house? What else would it be? I looked over my shoulder to see Lara Wraith standing in the shadowy doorway of the house. You have special needs, obviously, she said, so I provided you with an appropriate vintage, 1939. She folded her arms, rather smugly, I thought, and said, Bring it back with a full tank. I tilted my head at her in a gesture that wasn't quite an affirmation and muttered as I opened the passenger side door. The loan officer will have to run a check on my credit first. What's this thing get, about 2 gallons per mile? Anastasia slid into the car with a brief sound of discomfort. I winced and held out my hands in case she fell back, but she managed it without any other difficulty. I shut the door and caught a glimpse of Lara taking a sudden step forward. She focused sharply on Anastasia for a moment, and then upon me. Lara's eyes flickered several shades paler as her ripe lips parted in dawning realization. A very slow smile crept over her mouth as she stared at me. I turned away from her rather hurriedly, got into the Rolls, and got it moving. And I did not look back again until the vampire's house was 5 miles behind us. Anastasia let me get most of the way back to town before she looked at me and said, Harry? Hmm? I asked. Driving the Rolls was like driving a tank. It had all kinds of momentum behind it, no power steering and no power brakes. It was a vehicle that demanded that I pay my respects to the laws of physics and think a little bit further ahead than I otherwise might. Is there something you want to tell me? She asked. Damn it, I muttered. She watched me with eyes much older than the face around them. You were hoping I didn't hear Justine. Yeah. But I did. I drove for another minute or two before asking, Are you sure? She considered that for a moment before she said more gently, Are you sure there's nothing you want to tell me? I have nothing to say to Captain Lucio, I said. It came out harder than I had anticipated.